James Kelly. I'm the executive director of Pacific Youth and Family Services Society, and we're running the Peak House program, which is a drug and alcohol live-in treatment program for youth across the province of all genders between the ages of 13 to 18.
Peak House has been around for some time now, yes?
Yeah, actually, we're just in the midst of celebrating our 30th year of providing services to youth and families in BC.
What does that mean to you personally to hit that 30-year milestone?
I think it's a pretty amazing milestone, and we got there by all of the hard work of folks years before Oliver came into the program, really seeing a need for this kind of service in our province. And Peak House was first to offer this kind of a treatment program that was inclusive, that was innovative, and that created an environment where youth wisdom was really the center of the work.
You just mentioned being innovative and inclusive. I imagine those two things are linked, and you talked about sort of a youth-centered process. What makes the program and the process innovative?
Again, I think it's all the different people that have come through the program over the years. So the program isn't stagnant. It's a living program that's constantly evolving to meet the needs of young people at the present time. So, you know, we've been the recipient of several awards for innovation. We also publish a lot. So we publish in academic journals. We're very much a learning and a teaching community. Next week on the 27th, we're hosting a speaker series with our clinical counselor, Vicki Reynolds. We're looking at different ways to have responses to suffering and pain and trauma. And we'll be presenting that to other members of the community. So I think really centering youth wisdom, and in many ways, the young people have shaped how the program operates and looks today and will continue to in the future. In terms of being inclusive, it is all linked, and we spend a lot of time and we're very intentional about trying to create an environment where everyone feels welcome. So, you know, a lot of people talk about anti-bullying laws and try to back those up. We actually really do stand behind those. We want everyone to feel safe and included. And our stats actually last week, and for the first time through this fiscal year, over half of the young people that have come through our program have identified as part of the queer, trans, or non-binary community. So I think that speaks to the safer environment that we're creating for young people, that they feel safe enough to make that kind of self-disclosure.
Right. There's a lot less secrecy or having to hide things if you're in a place where you feel safe.
Yeah. And I think Peak House was one of the first programs to, you know, when Peak House first started, our first program operated as a co-ed program, which is what it was called at the time, and people thought, whoa, how are you going to do that? And now we operate with the language of an all-gender program. So all genders, all gender expression.
Why do you think it's important to not have it be isolated to a single gender program, to be open to whomever?
You know, honestly, I think all levels of service are important. So I think those kind of programs that do serve, you know, a men's program or a women's program, I think those are also equally important. I think it's important in those programs that you're respecting people's gender as they present themselves and they're welcome in. And I think both are important. And, you know, at Peak House, one of the things that we kind of value is young people are living in a world with a lot of different people. And so living in a house with a lot of different people is really preparation for when they're completed the program. What's that going to look like in the real world? How are they going to translate those skills, their healthy relationships, boundary setting, all of that kind of additional work on top of drug and alcohol support? How are they going to utilize those in a future living situation or in their work environment or in their school? It's really also how to get along with people that you may or may not like.
There's a real socialization component there.
Absolutely.
You mentioned the sort of drug and alcohol pressures, and anyone who has been in Vancouver can attest to the fact that there is a very large issue, lots of pressure on youth and just people in general regarding the ongoing drug and overdose crisis. How do those impact the work that you do at Peak House?
Yeah, I mean, I think those in all of us living in this province. So I believe it was 2016 that the opioid crisis was declared a provincial public health emergency, and now we're at 2018, and I think that's in August, where over 740 people had passed, and those are the ones that we know about. So I think you'd be hard-pressed to find folks that aren't touched by this in some way. There's a huge pressure on young people. I mean, recreational drug use just isn't a thing anymore. Like, it's not a thing that you can experiment with and hope that you're going to come out the other side of that, because, you know, people are passing, first-time users thinking they're using one thing and ending up overdosing on carfentanil. So it's just like a really scary time. So I think in the past, when we've had these kind of overdoses, we've been looking at folks on the downtown east side, hardcore users, and saying, well, that problem exists over there, but it's not really touching me or my people or my friend that use recreationally on the weekend. And we don't have a problem with substances. We're recreational users. All of those people are now equally affected. And so that's the really scary part, I think, for folks. Certainly at Peak House, we've definitely lost people that have come into the program, maybe returned to using and accidentally overdosed. And that's something that, you know, we're looking at creating a new component to our programming for young people. And one of the skills is, how do you manage when one of your friends dies? Like, that's where we're actually at right now, because people are maybe leaving the program, leading a sober life, but that doesn't prevent their friends, their family, other loved ones from passing. And how are they supporting themselves to remain with their preferred way of being, which might be sobriety, depending on that young person, without getting pulled out by that?
The effects trickle down and spread out to so many different and broader aspects of life and the community than you could have said 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, it's not isolated, and I don't think anyone can kind of say, that's a problem over there that's not going to touch me. Because it does. It impacts all of us.
You've been doing work to support youth in this community for some time now, and now you're launching a new fundraising initiative that will hopefully help you deal with some of these bigger picture issues in the future, correct?
Yeah, what we've currently targeted is we're looking at a fundraising goal of $300,000, and the intention of that is to purchase property that's going to allow us to leverage new programming to help support young people past their time within our program. So our program is presently 10 weeks. They live there, and then they typically will return to their community, so their caregivers or their family, and they'll continue on from there. We serve young people from across the province, and as you know, housing is a tricky thing here, mm-hmm. in Vancouver, and not all young people that come to us have a safe, stable, or supportive environment to return to. They also might not be ready. So for some young people, 10 weeks is the perfect amount of time. And for others, they need longer-term supports, more independence, but still the structure of the program that they've been working within to have a little more time to get their feet on the ground and move through.
It's interesting. It reminds me of a conversation I had with the provincial representative for children and youth last year, talking about foster children aging out of care and how there is a network of services out there to help support youth, but there is often this issue of, once they're through the program, what happens next?
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that there is a network of services for youth. So youth services in Vancouver are very closely linked. We all work very collaboratively with one another with the aim of providing the best continuity of service, like round care, for all young people in our services. So that is a really important part for people to understand, is how closely we all work together. And there are programs available for young people, like you're talking kids aging out of care, and there's not enough of those supports. So what we want to do is add to that collection of services and provide more opportunities for young people looking for the, I guess what I'm trying to say is, often young people don't have the opportunities to step into their preferred way of being because there just might not be enough supports in place for that to happen.
And so every new support you can add makes it more likely that they will be able to step into their preferred way of living.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you and I probably have friends that can't find housing in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Right? So then imagine being a young person who doesn't have family supports behind them, who's maybe struggling with some substance misuse, who maybe is behind in education, who doesn't have gainful employment, all of those kind of pieces all intersect together to create a harder experience for young people who have often already had a very hard experience up until that point. So it's about cushioning the landing and creating opportunities.
If people want to help support the Peak House program or the Pacific Youth and Family Services Society or find out some more information about either of those, what can they do?
Yeah, we'd love people to check out our website, peakhouse.ca. That's peakhouse.ca. People can go on there. They can find out more about our program. They can hit the donate button if that's something within your capability to do so. Also spread the word that there are services available if there's a young person in your life or you're connected to a family who has a young person in their life that's needing support. Reach out. I know there's a lot of talk that wait lists are long and it's impossible to get into service. Sometimes that's the case, but there's also services available, so people should reach out. You can call us directly at 604-253-6319, and we're happy to talk with anyone and help them get to the place that they are most suited for, whether it's us or another resource in our community.
Thanks, James, for taking the time to chat with me and for the work you do.
Yeah, thanks so much, and thanks to your listeners for taking a minute to learn more about our program. We really appreciate it.